Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Time now for our play-by-play call today by an old friend, Larry Clisby, the Cliz, with P.J. Thompson from midcourt.
Brunson deals it off into the corner. Backing up, ball was lost momentarily and then stolen away by Vince Edwards. Over to Thompson, shoots a half-court shot.
And made it! He made it from half-court!
The Cliz, Larry Clisby, long-time voice of the Purdue Boilermakers with the call today last night at Mackey Arena. If I'm a Purdue fan, this is what I'm concerned about. In all seriousness, I'm concerned about the guard play. Up front, really good. Caleb Swanigan is a heck of a player. Well, I think is now starting to figure out a little bit, you know, that he's more forward than guard. And Isaac Haas is a great low post presence. Can't move him. Cannot move Isaac Haas off the block. But their problem's guard play. Their guards, I'm talking about elite. Their guards are not good enough to play at an elite level. That's the problem they have.
Which guard specifically?
The point guard specifically.
Yeah.
That's why they brought in Spike Albrecht, the transfer from Michigan.
Right.
And Spike still has issues with his hip. And he's an okay shooter. P.J. Thompson is just an okay player. I know when he matches up with Penn State as a point guard, Penn State's going to have the advantage. Penn State has better guard play than Purdue does.
I thought the game looked, it was one of those, you look at that game last night and you're like, well, they matched up well with Villanova at this point in the season. And if they can get some of these guys to mature through the season, they'll be okay. I mean, you look at where is Swanigan now versus where he was this time last year.
Swanigan's a good player.
Swanigan. He was a good player last year, but he made a lot of stupid mistakes last year.
Well, he made a lot of mistakes because, again, he thought he was part. I think part of it was having Hammonds there, so Swanigan felt he could go outside more and play more outside. He's got to play more inside.
Yeah.
And Edwards is as fine a versatile player as there is in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I've been a big Edwards fan since I've seen him.
Yep. And they got some good stuff last night. It was up and down, but they got some decent stuff out of Smotherman as well last night. Basil.
He did not play last year. He played early last year,
then they redshirted him.
Didn't
they? Yeah.
Yeah, they had to. He got hurt, so they figured the best thing to do was to redshirt him, and they did.
Right.
He is a good player, not a great player.
Right.
I'd say he's more of a guy that is a functional player in what Matt wants to do.
Yeah. So I have a question, because we were having an argument about this last night, because my husband objects highly to how Matt Painter pulls his guys when they start getting in foul trouble. The fact that he parked Haas on the bench after, 3 minutes or something like that, because he got in foul trouble. Same thing with Swanigan. That is the Brad Wakeman theory of basketball. This does not work. However, by the end of the game, you know, whoever was calling the game last night, I don't remember who it was, but was saying, oh, he really handled that well with those foul, you know, with those guys in foul trouble. And, you know, my husband's flipping out, and he doesn't flip out about much, but he was flipping out. So your opinion, guys in foul trouble, bench him, leave him in, and just see what happens.
It depends on who the player is and how much trust the coach has in him. I mean, that, okay, you have to understand who your people happen to be. If I have a guy that is prone to reaching, if I have a guy that when he gets a foul, gets upset and loses his poise and might roll into another foul, I take him out of the game. If I'm in a situation where I think I can weather it, because I've got my personnel's better in certain spots, then the same thing, I would sit him. If it's a guy that I trust that I look out there and say, you know what, I can play a little offense defense with this guy, or I can put him out there and have him play offensively and then pull him out of the game when we go on defense. You can do a little bit of that, because there's always a simple theory with guys that you trust. Just because they have two fouls, don't ever assume they're going to get their third. And a lot of times the guys that you do trust are the guys that, even though they get two in the first half, never get their third the rest of the game.
Right. Well,
so it's all on who it is. It's all on who it is and not what the coaching theory is.
Aha. Well, I will share that with Mr. Wakeman this evening over dinner and see what he says.
Put him in his place, Jen.
That's right. Yeah. Be like, well, Steve Jones said.
Yeah, that always works.
Well, he thinks you hung the moon and I'm a pain in the neck. So, you know, he'll probably go, oh, well, that's actually probably really smart. And he'll end up wearing mashed potatoes before the night is over. It'll be fine.
And he will have earned it.
The funniest thing that was said last night is I walked out at one point to do something in the kitchen. And there I hear this momentous roar go up from the other room on the TV and from Brad. And he paused the game because we were watching it on the DVR, and he paused it and he walked in and he said, Haas just had a pretty good dunk. You want to see it? And I said, Isaac Haas dunking is like me throwing something in the trash can. Keep going. It's like that, his feet don't leave the ground.
That is as big a man as I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it is like looking at a block of granite out there.
Yeah, he seems like he gets bigger every year.
How the heck they found him in Alabama, I'll never know.
I do not know, but anyway.
So there you go. There's your team in a nutshell.
All right. Well, now we know. We have guard issues.
That was a great early season matchup last night, too. I'm pumped up for tonight. We got a great doubleheader tonight. We got Kentucky, Michigan State, Duke, and Kansas. Psyched for that.
Who's Duke's next game? Penn State.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, wow. Who set this schedule up? That's terrible. I mean, I was surprised that, and I think I saw a thing last night during the game. They said this is the first time since Mackey Arena opened in like 1967 that a reigning NCAA champion has played there, and it was UCLA, I think it was in 1967.
It would have to be a non-conference game
but that's what they mean. Like a reigning champ came in and played at Mackey, and it hasn't happened since the year that they opened the building, and then it happened last night with Villanova coming in. So it was a great game.
Wow, because obviously Michigan State was a reigning national champion when they came in, and Michigan was a reigning national champion
when they came in. Well, that's true. I think there was some kind of weird.
The last reigning non-conference champion,
non-Big Ten champion. All right. Yeah. Well, like I said, I was in and out. I can only take so much stress, and when games get close, I have to walk out, and then I walk back in.
Oh, you're one of those.
I am one of those. I can't take it, and particularly when they don't play well. And when you cannot hit something from the charity stripe, oh, my ever-loving goodness, do I just lose it. So, I'm sorry. That's true confession.
Is that what happens in a tense situation? They're down 8 or 10. You go, oh, my ever-loving goodness, instead of saying something else?
That's what we say when we're on the air. When we're at home on the couch, we say other things.
Trust me, I wasn't saying that during the Steelers game on Sunday night.
You and me both, brother. Wow.
That's okay, because Jen and I have played golf before, so I know.
You've heard it all. If you played a round of golf with me, you've heard my entire vocabulary.
So, there you go. All right. Okay. Bucknell's got Robert Morris coming up, so they've got that game coming up. And Penn State's got Grand Canyon tonight. And that is part of the Hall of Fame Classic. That's why Penn State's playing Duke on Saturday. All right. It's part of that Hall of Fame Classic. Okay.
Grand Canyon University. Is that a real school? That's not playing like University of Phoenix Online, is it?
It is a for-profit university, which is one of the reasons that they were a little on edge about whether or not they should let them play in the NCAA. And they were Division II school, and they have a four-year probationary period. Well, this is the fourth and final year of the probationary period for them. So even though they're a team that probably is good enough to contend for their conference championship, they are playing conference games, they would not qualify for the NCAA tournament because they are not eligible yet.
What conference are they in? What'd you
the
say?
The Western Athletic, the WAC.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, you see those ads on TV and you go, is that a real place? This is actually a real place.
Real place. And Dan Marley, who was the outstanding shooter for the Phoenix Suns, is their coach.
Oh, wow.
So that's tonight's game.
You learn something new every day on the Steve Jones Show.
Exactly. Sean sits there, he learns a whole bunch of things. Like, why am I doing this?
Last part of that sentence is very inaccurate.
This is the best part of Sean's day.
It is. Yeah. It is. I've told you that before. I've told both of you this before.
Well, if I had to walk through the hallways and suddenly get into a hostage situation talking to the suit, it would be my best part of my day, too.
He's in the other half of the building now. It's so good. He's down there. He stays down there. He leaves the building a lot. It's great.
You might as well get rid of Movie Mike, because my understanding is that the suit has seen more movies in the last 2 months.
Oh, snap! Wow! If the suit were here, he'd say something like, I'm making sure that your paycheck doesn't bounce, or something like that, you know.
Well, if we're relying on that, then we're all on our own. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Spent the break contemplating if we were led in the suit's efforts to get us through, and I almost didn't come back. All right, let's see. Oh, stop laughing, Sean. I almost didn't come back. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, that's what we're relying on? Really? All right. Couple quick notes. Obviously, college basketball in the weeds right now. But playing, and I mentioned Penn State's going to play Duke Saturday. They've got Green King in tonight. But football, the way things are laying out right now, I want to get into a couple of things on football for the moment. Number one, Paris Palmer is out. He's done for not only the season, but for his career. He only had 2 years. And obviously, you know, he caught his fair amount of criticism last year for how he played. Did a little better as time went. Did not start this year. And he, to his credit, went out, kept working. When his number was called, how many of you noticed that he was out there? I mean, how many of you noticed he was out there? Because he was really, quote, unnoticeable, which means he wasn't making mistakes. And that's the part that that tells you he was going along at a pretty good clip and playing well. So he's a loss. One thing coaches do, many things coaches do, one of many things that a coach does is a coach prepares for worst-case scenarios. And last week, part of the worst-case scenario for Penn State was, what happens if you get an injury at tackle? That's why you notice that they moved out Ryan Bates to play the left tackle spot the rest of that game. That was not unfamiliar because during practice last week, Ryan Bates was moved out to left tackle as a worst-case scenario. I'll give you an example of a worst-case scenario that never came to fruition. Penn State, when they had all the linebacker injuries, moved Koa Farmer from safety to outside linebacker, where he still is. And Cole Farmer's playing very well, by the way, at outside linebacker. He's really using his speed now as a great asset and a big problem for offenses. But at the time, Penn State still had guys out. So they had to come up with a worst-case scenario that if Koa Farmer got hurt, quote, what would we do? And that's when they took Jarvis Miller and moved him to outside linebacker, backing up Koa Farmer. In fact, you may have noticed in the Maryland game, when Penn State had the game well in hand and they were playing the next unit, Jarvis Miller was out there, and Jarvis was playing outside linebacker. Now, Jarvis is back playing safety now. But again, that contingency was put in place as a worst-case scenario so that Jarvis Miller understood that if something happened, at least he had a feel from practice how to play the spot. Same thing last week. Ryan Bates was moved over to left tackle. And you just can't just simply move somebody over and say, okay, here you go. You know, tackle's different than a guard. I mean, a tackle between the footwork and the arm length that you need to properly play the spot. Okay, you have to, you know, you need both of those elements. Bates at least has that. And that's why they moved Ryan out with the idea that they could put Steven Gonzalez and Derek Dowry in at the guard spot. Now, when Connor McGovern got bumped up, then both Gonzalez and Dowry had to play. They also had in reserve Wendy Laurent, who can play either guard spot. So you have to come up with a series of worst-case scenarios along the way, and that's one of the jobs of a coach. They have to constantly think of this. Now, let me give you a case of, okay, do you do it at every position? No. I'll give you a good example of that. Let's take safety. Both Malik Golden and Marcus Allen, Golden missed one game this year. So far, 10 games, Golden has nine starts, and Allen has 10. So Troy Apke backs up Golden. So when he went out, Apke started the game and played the entire game. And they already had behind him Aaron Monroe and Nick Scott are already back there. So there's no worst-case scenario needed there because you've only gone to your second-string guy and you haven't had to be clever yet. Problem with Penn State's tackle situation is that you've lost Nelson. Mann, of course, has been out. Then you lose Palmer. And that's where you had to come up with a worst-case scenario solution. Same thing with the linebackers. They lost all those linebackers at once. So you had to come up with a, look, if this keeps going, we need a worst-case solution here. And that's where they came up with Koa is going to play out there, and we need a backup there. And so we'll put a guy that at least has some instincts, even though he's undersized, and a guy like Jarvis Miller, and add him back up. But, you know, now, once the other linebackers came back, Jarvis Miller moved back to safety. But again, you're always, as a coach, not only going through strategy, not only going through practice habits, you have to worry about every little thing. You know, how do we travel? What time do we get there? What time do I want my meeting? How do I want to conduct the meeting here at home tonight? There's a lot of things that they have to do this. Way too much. And so if you're wondering why they made such a quick adjustment to it, that's because they planned on it. All right. Great to have you with us. Final half hour coming up. Next week, we'll have Nathan Davis on the show. 3:35 every Tuesday to talk to the fine head basketball coach at Bucknell. They have Bobby Moe coming up, a.k.a. Robert Morris. No offense, we call them Bobby Moe.
Sunbury Motors has been through 25 elections in their 101-year history, and they're going to celebrate that it's finally over by pricing every new Ford at the wildest prices ever. SMC has always been the place for new F-150s, and to celebrate the election is over, you can take up to $10,000 off a 2016 F-150 Supercab, starting at $32,969. There's over 100 F-150s to choose from. SMC is where you want to be for your fuel-sipping Fusion Hybrid, getting 43 MPG and starting at $22,940. SMC is where you want to be for your EcoBoost 4x4 2017 Escape. A well-equipped 4x4 Escape has been discounted to $23,996. SMC has 54 Escapes to choose from. Now is the time to put the election behind you and celebrate the wildest prices ever at SMC in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday. Gorgeous day out there today. I almost pulled the trigger and went out and played golf today. And I couldn't. I have too much work to do. I'm in this process of doing 8 games in 14 days. And by the way, did you notice they pulled the 6-day thing again? I mean, nobody knows what the kickoff time is for the final home game here.
It's funny. Rich Scarcella, who we just had on last hour, just posted on his Twitter a little while ago. He said he was on the Illinois website, University of Illinois football website, and they're claiming that the Penn State-Michigan State game is 3:30. Obviously, no official word from Penn State yet, which we won't catch till Sunday, obviously. Kind of wonder how they got it. Or they just, or maybe it's just a typo.
I think they're guessing. We haven't been told. Nobody's been told.
No.
So I don't know.
Kind of comes as no surprise. I thought the last several, isn't it the last several last games of the regular season they've waited till?
Oh, for goodness sakes. Let's not turn this into the Manhattan Project. It's not that complicated. Okay? It's not that complicated as to what time you should play and where it should air.
I guess what Rich saw on the Illinois website, and maybe they just automatically assumed that they want Ohio State and Michigan to play at noon next Saturday.
Ohio State and Michigan are playing at noon.
Absolutely.
That is set.
That is set.
Now just set all the other stuff around it. I don't get it.
Why wait till Sunday? Right.
Okay. Let me start out with this. It absolutely is irrelevant to me. All right. To me, it's absolutely irrelevant. Whatever the time they kick off, they kick off. And then whatever air time we have, we have.
You're there regardless. You're there.
Right.
You're there.
Right. So it doesn't matter. Okay. You have to stop throwing roadblocks in front of fans who want to go to games. Now, let's take the game on Saturday night with Rutgers. Everybody has known now for months that was a night game at 8:00. Okay, we've all known that. So it's nice. It's nice and easy for everybody. Everybody knows it. They get it. But these six, and I've complained about the 6-day deal before. So this is nothing new. Every single time the 6-day thing has come up, I have complained about it. But I've complained about it not for me. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I am completely irrelevant to this. I'm a broadcaster who, they just need to tell me what time, and I'll show up for work, and then I'm going to go to work. Okay, I'm not paying good money to go. All right? all of you are paying good money, and all the fans across the country, I don't mean just Penn State fans, all the fans across the country, you pay good money to go to games. You have, you know, maybe you want to rent an RV. Gas money. Food money. Okay? You want to be able to plan your weekend, plan your day. And these guys keep pulling this stuff left and right. You notice the NFL, when they flex out a game, they flex out a game a month ahead of time. They don't flex it out. They don't pull a six-day thing. I don't know what the new contract says. But I really do not want... I don't want to hear a statement. And first of all, everyone knows that actually I'm somebody who has great respect for Jim Delaney. And there's a lot of reasons I do. But one thing I don't want to hear is that, well, we have to give our broadcast partners flexibility. Flexibility for what? You can't tell me 12 days out that, you know, what a big game is. You can't tell me on Monday, for example, that Auburn, Alabama is not a big game. Really? Can't do that? Can't tell me that's a big game? Washington, Washington State. You can't tell me 12 days out that's not a big game? Really? Now, Ohio State, Michigan's already set. That's at noon. That was set during the summertime. But you can't tell me that you can't figure it out 12 days in advance? You can't do that? Again, this is not the Manhattan Project. This is just slotting games for TV. Shouldn't fans have a little more leeway, and shouldn't they count more? Now, Penn State has nothing to do with this. Hey, Rutgers, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Auburn, Alabama, Washington, Washington State, USC, UCLA, they have nothing to do with this. This is TV dictating because, again, they have paid massive rights fees. Massive rights fees. So I do see it from their perspective. But you can't tell me 12 days out you don't know? I mean, we already know what the schedule is. You're telling me you don't know 12 days out that you got to wait till 6? You got to wait until after Penn State plays Rutgers, which is the night game? Really? That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me at all. I mean, I know you want to put the best games on, but for example, wouldn't a great, say for example, you really wanted to do it right? Like we're gonna select the best game, best time slot, the whole deal. Well, wouldn't Ohio State, Michigan next week be the perfect 8 o'clock at night game? Right? Where the whole country could watch it? Now, I know it's November, and, you know, there's a good chance it's going to be pretty cold that night, probably in the 30s at night.
Yeah, it'll be interesting starting next year when Fox will start to televise more Big Ten football games if they're going to really flex their muscle and say, hey, we want this now to be an 8 o'clock primetime game.
Right. Well, but again, I don't mind that. I don't mind that part at all. What I do mind are the six-day windows. That I mind a lot. Okay, that really is a slap in the face to all the fans that actually pay good money to go see games. I mean, you can make a selection 12 days out. Again, okay, you don't have to sit there and have a Harvard degree to do it. Okay, most of what Harvard does anyway is based on theory and not in reality, so, you know, we're a theory-based university. So. Ay-yay-yay. Unreal. Again, it bothers me from the fan point of view. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, that part doesn't bother me at all. But for example, Jack Hamm wanted to know, because Jack has to make his plans as to, you know, as to coming up here and things like that. Yeah. It's not, to me, it's not the right way to handle a business where you want tens of thousands of people to be at the business. Yeah, we want tens of thousands of people who are your customers. And again, Penn State has zero to do with this. All the schools have nothing to do with it. It has to do with the contract between the networks and the conferences. So there you go.
You mentioned Harvard a second ago. You got Yale and Harvard this weekend.
Yes, the game with no stakes.
Yale struggling 2-7.
I saw Yale on TV against Penn. Oh, my goodness. Ryan Dowling, BD from Doonesbury. I don't even think he can watch anymore. Calvin Hill, Grant Hill's father, can't watch anymore. Back in the 60s, Yale was a power. I'll tell you, when Yale played Harvard in the 60s, wow. Trying to think, who the heck would it see? Carm Cosa was the coach at Yale, and Joe Restick was the coach at Harvard. They were good back then. Harvard's still good now. Yale's really struggling. Where is that game, by the way?
This year at Harvard.
At Harvard. There you go. Beautiful Cambridge. Cross the river. Cross the Charles. They will play. All right. Let's see. Jared Goff's going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams. The Browns say that RG3 is on track to get back and playing, but it won't be this week. LeBron says he's lost respect for Phil Jackson over his posse comment about his around the people that surround him. Jim Harbaugh says Wilton Spade is questionable. Let's see. Anything else here?
That's interesting. I came across a story on Bleacher Report last night. A couple sources out there thought he was done for the year.
See, that's too broad a statement, all right? For example, say Wilton Spade is hurt and say he can't play the next 2 weeks. Is he done for the year? Well, they play a bowl game, and that bowl game is not for another 6 weeks. So you would be technically correct if you did not use the words he's done for the year. Okay, now let's get to the absurd of the day. Okay? Paul Feinbaum asked Danny Sheridan to set the line for Alabama against the Cleveland Browns on a neutral field. Okay? Guess what the point spread is.
See. I'll say Alabama plus 3.
No, Alabama minus 27. This goes back to the absurd could Kentucky beat the Philadelphia 76ers deal. Okay, there is no way on the planet a college football team is beating a professional football team, no matter how much the professional football team has struggled. And the Browns are interesting. They may not have won a game yet, but look how highly competitive they have been in most of their games. I mean, they've lost some games at the end, or like they're trying to come back and came up short, whatever. Danny Sheridan says that on a neutral field, Alabama would have to give, the Cleveland Browns would have to give Alabama 27 points. And that's about what I thought it would be. I thought it would be about 4 touchdowns. There's no way on the world, despite the fantasy, look how great Alabama is, look how bad the Browns are. The Browns are a professional football team that has taken, okay, the best of the best, put them in there, bigger, stronger, older. It would not be a competitive game. Just like at the Philadelphia 76ers a couple of years ago, played Kentucky. Hey, Philadelphia 76ers would have won the game and probably would have won it with relative ease. Okay? Simple. I mean, these professionals are older, bigger, stronger. more mature. It just would not be a contest. Now, is it an interesting question? Sure, it's an interesting question. I didn't think it was an interesting question. I wouldn't have thrown it into the show. Wrap things up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Holidays are right around the corner. And some exciting football coming up. You know, for the fans, this is a great, great thing. You can talk about all sorts of scenarios and get into it and love it and enjoy it. I mean, let's face it, it's become fun. It's become thrilling. And then there's the football team. They have to ignore all that noise and play because they can't keep the fun going for everyone unless they're locked in on what they have to do. And it doesn't matter who they're playing now. They're all playoff games now. They all are. That's when you get to this time of the year and you put yourself in a certain position. That's what they are. Now, are they playoff games for the college football playoff? No, not necessarily. But they're playoff games to try and win a Big Ten championship, trying to win a division championship, trying to get yourself into the New Year's Six. These are all playoff games. I'm just trying to be realistic here and lay it out for everybody. Suddenly, you are now in a position to do some really great things, but you can only do the great things starting by winning Saturday night. Cliche-ish? Yes, but tell me which part of the statement's inaccurate. Statement's not inaccurate. Can't do anything without winning Saturday night. Can't accomplish any of the goals I just talked about without winning Saturday night. So that's why they've got to, you know, ignore the noise, lock it out, move on. Yeah, they're the ones that can't sit there and go through scenarios and get all giddy and caught up in what's going on. That's for the fans to do. This is fun for you. This is why you root for a team. When a team suddenly does well and they're doing it in a fun and exciting way. I mean, Penn State plays a fun brand of football. You have to admit. I mean, Penn State is a fun team to watch. And that's something I think that it's not only the fact that they're winning, but they're exciting. They may drive you nuts once in a while, but they're fun and exciting to watch. And that's what's made all of this great for everybody. But again, now you have no choice except to keep it going. And you're the biggest target on the other team's list now. It's the biggest game for Rutgers without question. This is the game for them. Now, do people think that Penn State's going to win? Yeah, of course they do. They're the prohibitive favorite. But it doesn't mean it's not the biggest game for Rutgers. It is. And if Penn State gets through that, it'll be the same thing next week. Now, Michigan State's got Ohio State this week at home, their senior game. And then Indiana takes on Michigan. And in all likelihood, John O'Korn's going to be the starting quarterback for Michigan. John O'Korn is a guy that was the starting quarterback for 2 years at Houston. So this is not we're dipping down deep into the pool here. Many thought John O'Korn was going to come into Michigan and win the job. And I remember watching Michigan's spring game on TV and Wilton Spate starting and playing and starting and playing. And my thought was, you know what? Spate's going to beat O'Korn out. You could see it. And he did. Well, but O'Korn is not an inexperienced guy that's never had his feet in the fire before. He had 34 career touchdown passes and a dozen 200-yard passing games at Houston. So this is not some babe in the woods they're throwing in there. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A lot more of this playoff talk coming up. The poll comes out tonight, so we'll see how it shakes down. I'll give you my guess. Penn State will be 9. They will pass out Florida and Auburn, but will get jumped by Oklahoma. Oklahoma beat Baylor. I think Oklahoma will be 8. Penn State will be 9. Just a prediction. As you know, my predictions based on my contest with my brother look like darts in a hurricane.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.